The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, you've met Jonathan Ruan on this programme previously. He's lecturer in global economics and management at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He's an expert on the future of working, particularly artificial intelligence. But he's back in Dublin now, and he is running a free course on entrepreneurship online this week, which he's going to tell us about in just a few moments. But Jonathan Ruan, the first thing that actually strikes me is all your theories about the future of work, do they get blown up at a time like this?
Yeah, I think a lot of the theories go out the window at a time like this. So the way I think about it, in normal terms, we're dealing with a steady state. But, you know, when something like the coronavirus hits us, we're in a state of irregular operations. And that means that the standard way of doing things just isn't relevant anymore. So, you know, we don't know how long this is going to persist for. And more importantly, you know, one thing we do know is that it will end, but the big question remains is what will the global landscape look like afterwards? What's the economy going to transform into? What kind of changes are going to persist? So there's still a lot of questions that are very hard to determine at this stage.
It strikes me, though, Jonathan, that there's going to be major issues in relation to globalization and particularly supply chains for essential goods and services. That in America, for example, they're going to be asking, well, why is it that we have such a problem getting ventilators and getting medicines and face masks because we allowed all of these things to be manufactured elsewhere and had to buy them back in a time of emergency?
I think we're going to see a big change from the Americans in terms of how they look at global supply chains. I mean, this was already beginning to become a conversation in terms of the America-China discussion that really Trump has brought to the front for. But now I think there will be cross-party agreements that there has to be, as the Americans look at it, more reshoring of important elements to their supply chains, particularly around public health. So they're going to start looking at public health elements similar to the way they look at military procurement. So I think from that point of view, there will certainly be big changes in international trade. But I think it will extend beyond that as well. I think in the post-virus world, we're going to start to see investment decisions made differently by big companies. I think they're going to start to look at countries not just through the lens of, well, is this, you know, a good tax base to be in? Or have I got good access to employees? They're also going to look at, well, what does this country offer me in terms of biological security? Is this going to be a safe place for us to base our company? How did this company treat its citizens, or sorry, how did this country treat its citizens when the coronavirus hit? I think all those kind of variables will be much more important.
And where do you think Ireland will sit in relation to that?
I think we've got a great opportunity here. We are in the midst of it right now, so it's impossible to make any firm conclusions. But as somebody who spends most of my time in America and quite a bit of time outside at some of it in Ireland, I think Ireland is doing a great job in very difficult circumstances. And that's what it's all about. It's very difficult circumstances. There is no perfect answer to how it is that we should be navigating this. And I'm certainly not going to talk about the public health side of things. But, you know, when it comes to rebooting the economy, I think there's going to be some very big decisions that are going to be needed. What I like about what Ireland is doing is that we're trying to be dynamic. The only real economic equivalent to what's ahead of us in global terms, but certainly in the US, was the Great Depression. That lasted for 10 years around the 1930s. And the US president who took them out of that, who, you know, people might have heard about the New Deal, was Franklin D. Roosevelt. And he talked about the only way they were going to do it is bold, persistent experimentation. There is no perfect plan. You have to get out ahead of this. You have to try something, move forward. It may not be perfect. And I think if Irish leaders, whatever government is in place today or in 2 years' time, as well as Irish citizens, get behind that idea that we try something, it may not always be perfect, but we keep moving. I think if we can adapt that mentality, I think we'll fare a lot better than other nations.
But do we have the political classes that will do that? Do we also have the support which is required from the likes of the Department of Finance and the Central Bank of Ireland, who almost by nature are conservative in their approach and who may also still be smarting from the beating that they took over a decade ago when they were blamed for being asleep at the wheel when it came to the financial crisis?
Well, I can tell you this is definitely not just an Irish problem. I think, you know, those type of groups you're talking about, institutions within our country, but also our international institutions, right now they're being tested. We see this at the European Central Bank. Will they or won't they with the Eurobond? You know, there are an awful lot of poor countries in the world that's going to need to see how the IMF will be able to support them as their big economic challenges unfold in the coming years. So the World Bank has got similar things, the Fed and the US. So it's not just the Irish Central Bank and other institutions. There is certainly a very different landscape ahead of them. Whether they're going to be able to rise to the challenge, I certainly hope so. Ireland has huge advantages by actually being small. There's lots of disadvantages to it as well. So, you know, the art of, I guess, leadership is what's possible. So, we can't transform everything overnight. We've got to bring people with us. We've got to set a vision for what that's going to be. But unity is going to be important. And Ireland has the opportunity to do that. I can tell you, somebody, you know, who lives in America, that is not what's happening there right now.
But isn't it also the case, though, that while we might have sort of broad agreement in relation to how we deal with a health crisis like COVID-19, when it comes to economics and decisions, things tend to break down on ideological grounds, left against right, against centre and whatever. It's much more difficult to get a consensus as to what actually needs to be done.
I totally agree. And I think the consensus building is the big part of it. Well, first of all, you're never going to agree on what policy instrument to use if you don't all agree on what exactly the problem is. So I think we spend probably too much time thinking about different versions of policy instruments and not enough time spent really understanding the problem. And I think that's somewhere that we could spend, you know, give more attention to in the future. How exactly we're going to build this consensus? If you look at the most recent Irish election, it certainly would suggest that we're moving away from building consensus as a nation. So these are going to be very tough times for our politicians and our leaders to see if they can unite us and bring us together behind what's going to be very tough times.
I mean, because often, Jonathan, it strikes me that it's not too difficult to agree on the problem, but actually agreeing on what the outcome and the solution can be is actually much more difficult.
Yeah, and it also assumes that we have, you know, perfect control around the outcome, which a lot of times we don't. You know, policy instruments at government level or even for central banks or whatever, they're not perfect. They can't solve for every problem. And the idea that, you know, it's going to work for everybody all the time is just not realistic. So it'll be interesting to see what is it that COVID changes in the national psyche. Is it going to unite us more? Or is it going to divide us more? I certainly hope it will unite us more, because that will give us a much better chance to come out the other side in good shape.
Jonathan, one of the reasons we have you on is, although you're not just the lecturer in global economics and management at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, you also lecture in Trinity College Dublin, and you are setting up a free online entrepreneurship webinar series later this week. Now that's fast. What's involved in that?
The idea here is that we know a lot of people are cocooning themselves and staying indoors, isolating themselves at the moment. And so therefore, they may have a little bit of spare time on their hands. But also, a lot of people know, either through necessity or opportunity, that they may be running their own business in, you know, when we come out the far side of this. So myself and a number of colleagues believe deeply in the idea that entrepreneurship is not something you're born with. It's something that you can build. The skills that are needed are things that can be learned. They may not guarantee success, but they'll certainly improve the chances of it. So with everybody having some more availability at the time, we've set up these three webinars. They're starting on Wednesday, so they'll be Wednesday, Thursday and Friday at 1:30. You go to IrelandStepsForward.com is the website, and the speakers we have are fantastic. So we have the Dean of the Business School at Trinity College, who's Andrew Burke, who's a professor of entrepreneurship. We've got Mark Little, who a lot of your listeners will know. He started his first company, Storyful, in the depths of the Irish recession. He's now got a new company, Kenzen, and he'll talk a little bit about that. And then I've invited one of my colleagues from MIT, a professor over there, Bill Ouellette, who literally wrote the book called on entrepreneurship called Disciplined Entrepreneurship. It's been translated into more than 20 languages and one of the world's foremost experts. So there'll be four of us talking about various aspects in relation to the skills that you can start to build as an entrepreneur and what kind of mindset you can be building while you're in this period of isolation.
Very interesting. I've actually already signed up for one of the sessions myself. I had a look at them. They look really, really interesting. Jonathan Ruan, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word at Today FM. And if you are interested, IrelandStepsForward.com is where you can get detail of these three events taking place Wednesday, Thursday and Friday.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.